Hello and welcome to another episode of Biff Pal Bam. As always, I'm your host Paul, and joining me tonight is Mr. Tony Bufton.
Yo!
And the return of Mr. Josh Riley.
I've been far from home and now I'm back, boys. Back.
Well, a little bit away from home.
I've been far from home, come on.
Just across a little bit of water.
Across the pond.
You're closer than we are.
Yeah, true.
You can just swim across.
I tell you what, I could jump in the Mersey and swim and hit Ireland and then run across Ireland or swing across Ireland, depending on how many buildings I can get on. And then I'd jump in the water again and swim.
So, we are back, as we said we would be. Obviously, Josh missed last month's episode because he was away. But we just kind of had a conflab about things, didn't we, Tony? It was more of a jibber-jabber chat than anything. But we did say, and we have been threatening to do this for a couple of months now, our roundup of the Netflix Marvel shows. They've come to an end. And I think we can all safely say we're sad to see them go.
Yeah.
It was mainly the reason why we started the show. It was due to them. And obviously the films as well, but I think we certainly settled on those Netflix shows for a good year that we were discussing them, had guests from them on the show. We were very lucky to get a couple of the actors, main cast members from two of the shows. So it is really sad to see them go. Hopefully something may come of them somewhere down the line. I know I mentioned to you guys a couple of days ago that, two of the showrunners, the ex-showrunners on Daredevil, Stephen DeKnight and I can't remember his first name. I think it's Eric Olsen, who showrun the last year on Daredevil, actually bought the costumes, both the black one and the red one. So then now they have been saved. They will be kept by the showrunners. So hopefully something might come of the fact that they've bought those up.
And we also had the interesting comments this week from Disney's Marvel that they were kind of caught cold by the Netflix decision.
And it seems strange because a lot of the shows are going away now. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now being confirmed that that's done. It's got one more season. Which leaves very few shows being produced by the TV side. Obviously, it leaves us with Cloak and Dagger and Runaways. And the two new ones that are coming, which has been confirmed as a whole spin-off now, under a different banner. I don't know whether you guys saw that.
Ah, nice pun.
Yeah.
Don't think I saw this.
Yeah, it's something about Fear, I think it was titled. Not Fear itself, which is a shame, because that was a great set of comics, a few years back, but, that's going to expand, and it has been confirmed that Marvel TV are now producing something for Disney Plus. That isn't linked to what we already know from the studio, so that should be interesting. Plus, there's a replacement on ABC for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that's been confirmed as well, but no details on what they are yet. I'm sure we'll find out once Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is done, or possibly even in the next couple of weeks at D23. I'm sure we'll find out a lot more about the other TV stuff that we already know about. I'm sure some of the blanks will be filled in over the next few weeks. So, very interesting. And I suppose the other thing we have to talk about, that I know Tony and I spoke about, Burt Ward being in Crisis on Infinite Earths. We can now confirm that Kevin Conroy will be making an appearance as Bruce Wayne. Which should be interesting, considering he's never played a live-action version of him.
No.
Honest to God, if he plays the version of Bruce Wayne from Batman Beyond, I will be so happy.
Well, that's the rumour that it's possibly he's going to end up coming in and helping Kate in Batwoman. somewhere down the line.
That's the thing I've always wanted to see. If they ever did a Batman Beyond live action, they either have Kevin Conroy in the TV universe, because that just fits, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Or if they do a film version, get Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I've always plugged that Michael Keaton thing. I know both me and Tony are massive fans of the Michael Keaton Batman movies.
Yeah, that, and to be honest, I know, like, the age I am, I should probably be a Christian Bale / Ben Affleck fan, but Michael Keaton was my first Batman.
And it's 30 years.
Exactly.
Since the first one. And at that point, I can say that the next film on After Dark at the Movies over on the Patreon site, if you're a Patreon of the After Dark Network, that will be our next movie review. We will be reviewing Batman 89 for Patreon. So I'll be rewatching that again. I haven't seen it in a while, but I'll be rewatching that for the review. Looking forward to talking about that one. Again, it's been a long time.
Are you doing as a commentary like we did for Iron Man? Or?
No, we kind of pick out our points. So we watch it and we'll take notes and pick out points, what we think is good about the film and what we think is bad. So like we've just done Jaws, and we kind of picked out some of the bad bits, like the opening scene's too dark, the first kill's kind of a bit meh. But then you talk about the good bits when it ramps up, when they're on the boat and things like that. So that's the kind of thing we do. We kind of pick it apart more than talk about what's on the screen. And just go through some kind of little facts and figures about things, say box office and stuff like that. So yeah, if you're interested, go and check out the After Dark Patreon account. So it's the After Dark Podcast Network over on patreon.com. Just a donation of $1 will get you access to these shows. $1 a month, that's all it costs. So yeah, go and check that out. That was a good little plug there for the network. So
might have to go and check it out, George.
Gotta get the plug.
Yeah, always got a
just
plug.
Long it's not a butt plug.
Yeah, that's when Craig's here. But Craig is far from home at the moment. He's over in Orlando at the moment, and we'll be back there again in 6 weeks with myself. and our dear Nicholas Branch will be there as well, former guest of this show and head honcho.
Good old Nicky boy.
I'm flying out with Nick. Craig's flying out with his pal Stuart, and we're gonna meet out there and do Halloween Horror Nights.
Brilliant.
And Galaxy's Edge.
Nice. Awesome.
So yeah, that's 6 weeks. In fact, we fly out 6 weeks today that we're recording on. So looking forward to that. Getting a bit of sun in the Orlando air.
Get a bit of tan on your big ale.
Yeah. Yeah, looking forward to it. So, as I said, we're not gonna review what we've seen on the Netflix shows. I think we've done that over the last couple of years. I don't think we need to do that. So what I am gonna do is I'm just gonna do a quick fire, question and answer session to these two that had no idea what I was gonna do. Didn't tell them.
This is very surprising, Paul. Surprising.
Yes. So just some best and worst questions, really, from the five shows that we got from Netflix and Marvel. Just some really basic answers. Just a quick fire show tonight. I know some people prefer longer shows, some people prefer shorter shows. So we're going to give you both at times. So this one's going to be a shorter one and a very quick fire show. So first question, pretty simple one. Best of the five leads. Josh, go.
Charlie Cox, Daredevil. It's just a simple answer. I mean, don't get me wrong. Jessica Jones is a fantastic show in its own right. But Daredevil just came out of the gate running, sprinting. It was so good. I was in 2015, year 11, fifth year seniors when this show came out. and it was all anyone was talking about around my birthday, because it came out about my 16th birthday, and it was all any of my mates were talking about, saying, have you seen it? Have you seen it? It's brilliant. Like, it could rival Arrow and all that, because at the time, those shows on the CW were flying out of the gate, and they were brilliant in content as well. So the fact that they were saying it could rival the DC shows is a testament to how good it was, to be honest. Yeah. And just Charlie Cox made it for me.
Tony?
Yeah, same, Charlie Cox. That's it, that's the short version, Josh.
I went on a rant, sorry.
Yeah.
I just loved Daredevil so much.
Yeah, and I'm going the opposite end of the scale. I'm going for the last show that was produced, and that I'm going with Jonny Bernthal.
Oh.
Just thought he completely blew everything out of the water with that performance. Yep. He deserved, for me, he deserved an Emmy for portraying the violence from one scene being absolutely off it and just being nothing there to the scenes when he's thinking about his wife and things like that. Yep. And with Karen.
He was off his cake sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, he just sells it for me. To be able to go from one extreme to the other.
Well, see, the thing, this is just going back to Charlie Cox, the fact that basically he had never played a blind guy before and just turned up to the audition and went, oh, hang on, he's supposed to be blind, and just winged it. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Do you know,
winged being a blind man.
The weird thing is now I look at him and it looks like it's affected him. He doesn't seem like his eyes focus properly anymore.
No, it's freaky.
And I do wonder whether it did have some effect on him over the 4 or 5 years that he's played him.
Because I guess he's effectively been staring into the distance all the time he's been playing that role.
Yeah.
So.
And certainly when we met him, it did feel like there was a little bit of something that had affected him over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
So, right. Best supporting cast member.
Josh? Tony, you take it first. Oh, no, go on. I took the first.
Oh, you get. I was just pulling up my IMDb then. Oh, I'm going to have to go with Jessica Henwick.
Okay. Reasons?
Just because she just was interesting to watch. She's funny, smart mouth, wisecracking. But also measured at times as well. I thought she was a great foil in Iron Fist. And just really, really lovely character. Great performance. Yeah.
Okay, Josh?
Deborah Ann Woll. Just because of the journey that Karen goes on through all the shows, not just Daredevil. She goes through a shitstorm, to be honest. But she comes out the other side stronger for it. I think it's a brilliant portrayal for, like we have all this thing nowadays of characters for young girls to aspire to, things like that, and I think she's one of them perfect characters, because you can go through something so traumatic. Like, she starts off with, was it a boyfriend or a husband, and she got framed for it basically, and she goes through all this awful stuff and comes out the other side such like a bright and strong woman. I just think it was brilliant for her.
Yeah. Now, I, up until the final season of Jessica Jones, I probably would have said Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah.
But I felt the character dived pretty quickly in this final season.
She
became less interested, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't really care, to be honest.
Yeah, it just, that storyline just absolutely fell apart. That one minute she was so desperate because she was ill, and then the next she's back to manipulating like she normally would. It just too quick of a change. It was on a dime, basically, that she went from being this person that kind of felt that her life was done and that she was, she had to change, to get through it, to then revert back to how she was three seasons ago.
No, you're right. I mean, if Jessica Jones didn't have a series three, then I definitely say yes. She, because the first 2 years, plus her cameo, she was fantastic.
Yeah.
But they didn't give her a lot of meat in that third series.
So on that point, I am going to have to agree with Josh. I think Deborah Ann Woll, over the space and having been in all, more or less all the series, at some point, I don't think you can look much further than her for having a solid storyline all the way through.
Mm. It's got a definitive beginning, middle, and end for their character. Obviously not an end in the sense of she dies in any way or she goes off in the distance in the sunset, but as a character arc kind of thing, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think across the shows as a whole, to their credit, they gave the actresses at times some really good, meaty, weighty stuff to do.
Yeah.
And all credit to Marvel for doing that. There's some fantastic moments that they all got across.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking some of them, is it Jessica Straub in Iron Fist as well?
Yeah.
don't mind Ted, he just wants a poo.
She had some interesting stuff to do in Iron Fist, I thought.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Carrie-Anne Moss, Jessica Henwick. Across all the shows. Actress who played Misty.
Yeah.
Just... And it was nice to see the women come out and get some really good stuff and standing up and coming to the plate and giving us some great stuff.
Get a shoe and throw it at the fucking door.
dog violence in the podcast.
Live podcast.
Oh, no, it's not dog violence, it's door violence. So, you've got to give it to the doors, you know, they need to know their place.
So... And this isn't aimed at just...
With that wood, I hit them back with my wood.
So this isn't... I'm not pinning on one actor or actress or the leads or anything. But for you, who was the worst character? The least interesting character, should I say?
Second... I'll tell you something straight to mind. It's the second villain in... Luke Cage that replaced Cottonmouth.
Oh, Diamondback?
Yeah.
Diamondback. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. No, I've got one worse. What is the name? What's her name? The sister in Iron Fist. The daughter.
One.
She literally does nothing for 13 episodes. She's in it maybe for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. You just mentioned Jessica Straub played her.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know?
Joy.
Joy Meacham, that's it. The one scene I can remember is that she saw on a couple of M&Ms. That's it. That's all I can remember of it.
That's interesting, because no, I liked the stuff she did. I actually thought she was giving some interesting stuff to do.
She bored the fucking ass off me.
For me, and people are going to hate me for this, Elektra.
Really?
She just absolutely killed that second season for me and completely put me off. So much that I didn't watch Daredevil straight away.
Ooh.
With that and her performance in Defenders as well, I was just like, no, I'm done.
I'll give you it in Defenders.
And that brings
in fact, she didn't really serve a lot of purpose in Defenders, I didn't think, in the end. It was just...
No.
Well, there wasn't...
The sake of bringing her back.
The villains were just a bit pathetic, and that brings up another one that I thought was pretty insignificant, was Sigourney Weaver.
Mm.
After all the fuss that was made about her being in it.
Yeah.
It was pretty pathetic.
That's the most letdown. That's the biggest letdown of the entire Netflix stuff. They cast Sigourney Weaver as a main villain for the big team up, and then she does fuck all.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasted, wasn't she, really?
Yeah. So I would probably pick that team up of Elektra and her as absolutely just killed my interest in those two shows. Sadly, Sigourney obviously has a great career and will continue to put in great performances, but that character just was a bit of a wet blanket in the end.
Oh, yeah.
And Elektra just annoyed me. She just spent most of her time moaning.
Moaning or not saying anything and looking broody as fuck.
Yeah, just did nothing for me. And that was a shame because they'd managed to reboot Daredevil, but couldn't manage to reboot her.
No.
Mm. So, talking of that, best villain.
You just know who mine will be.
Well,
you know.
The obvious one is going to be Kingpin.
No, mine's not.
Yeah, mine's not either.
But I would also, I go back to what I mentioned a minute ago, I actually really like Cottonmouth.
See, now I did like Cottonmouth, but Kilgrave.
Yeah.
Mm.
Kilgrave. Yeah. Sorry. Don't get me wrong. Wilson Fisk is fantastic in seasons 1 and 3. And yeah, technically Bullseye is the secondary villain. But Kilgrave just stands out so much in that first season.
And I wonder...
I could not wait for him to walk on screen. I know it's David Tennant already. I love him to bits. But I think the character in general, I couldn't wait for him to come on screen.
Yeah. And I do wonder whether that is helped by the fact that he was really only one in one season.
Yeah.
And Jessica Jones never found a replacement.
Mm.
Villain-wise.
No, what, once you've had a villain played that way by that actor, for all that...
Once you've gone purple, you never go back.
Yeah, basically. You cannot... He's like... He's basically that villain you've got to try and live up to, but you probably never, ever will. For that specific show, I mean, I don't mean in general. Yeah. He was just so good.
Yeah, man, and I do think it harmed the show in the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, unfortunately it did. But you've got to admit, you could go back and watch that first season on its own and still enjoy the pants off it.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling that they probably shouldn't have brought him back.
No. If they'd have not had him as a little hallucination in season 2, I'd have actually been okay with it. But, because I've got that entire first season to remember him with.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Yeah. It's interesting the way he's received, actually, character, because at the end of the day, he's basically a control freak stalker.
Yeah.
And yet, because Tennant brings so much of the role, he sort of, everybody kind of loves the character.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, definitely. I completely agree with what Josh said. He was by far and away my favourite. Kingpin never really became that villainous, did he? He just got a bit violent at times.
Yeah, he basically just had a couple of tantrums.
Yeah.
And smashed people's heads in with doors.
And bought a painting.
Yeah. And bought a good fair white wallpaper.
So the next question is a little bit of a different one. It's again character based, but which character surprised you the most that maybe you didn't think you would like or didn't like the actor when they came in?
Do you know what? Actually, Cottonmouth. I know that's probably a strange one to say, but I thought, oh, he's just going to be like the throwaway guy. He's going to die in like the first 5 episodes. Fair enough, he did die halfway through the first season, but the guy put that much of an effort into the performance that he was actually preferred as the villain over the guy who was supposed to be the overarching season 1 villain.
Mm.
Now, if that doesn't tell you how shit the final villain was, I don't know what does.
No, I agree. I can see why. I didn't really know Mahershala Ali at the time.
No, I didn't.
I knew him from the 4400.
Yeah.
Well, it's I mean, I suppose it's good in the end that they actually did kill Cottonmouth, because now we're getting him as Blade. So.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think it would have made much difference, because I don't think the studio and the TV side of things really care about doing that. It's not like it's the first time, is it?
Well, yeah, they did it with...
Alfred Woodward.
Yeah. and thingy, she was the mum in Civil War.
Yes.
Who talks to Tony. Yeah. So
it isn't the first time. It's the first time they've gone from TV to film, though. Yeah. Before it's been the other way around. Tony, how about you?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go back to Iron Fist. And you can probably guess what I'm going to say now. It's based around Series 2. And it's actually the other half of that sibling rivalry.
Oh, Ward, yeah.
Ward. I thought the actor's performance, that second series,
yeah,
that character change and the emotional draw that he gets out of you and the sympathy he elicits, I thought was fantastic. After he went from being just a tool in the first series, a much more sympathetic one in the second series.
Yeah. Now, weirdly, I'm going for Daddy Meacham.
Oh, interesting.
I
liked David Wenham. I'd met him back during the Lord of the Rings craze. So I'd met him nearly 10 years ago now. In fact, it's more than 10 years ago. I saw he was going to be in it, I thought, oh, that's good. I like him. I've seen him in some other stuff. I've seen Van Helsing, obviously, he was in. I know a lot of people aren't fans of that film, but I still enjoy it. But yeah, and then when the character started, I was kind of like, oh God, what the hell's this? Just some rich bloke thinking he can dictate everything. But then when you realise what's actually happening and you slowly learn about what he is throughout the season, you kind of understand why he is like he is. And the fact that he actually does really want to help in the end, kind of gives you another angle to him. And I just really enjoyed the performance from David Wenham.
Yeah. There was an addendum, actually, I wanted to just throw in as well, of somebody else that surprised me. Again, from Iron Fist, and the character, and that was Typhoid Mary.
Yeah.
Alice Eve. And that's the most gutting thing for me, is that we won't get to see any more of that character progression and her performances.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't mind Typhoid Mary, actually, I'll give you that.
The second season was definitely stronger than the first one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I mean, the first season, it's so hard to do a character that's just basically supposed to be a white Bruce Lee.
A glowing fist.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I don't know why any of us
make Kung Fu wave.
Yeah, I don't know what any of us really expected from it as well. That was the problem. We knew what the character was in the comics and the cartoons, but to portray it in live action, and that's why I'm having some struggles with Shang-Chi. Is that going to go down the same route as this has gone? I know it's a little bit different because he is obviously Asian. But are we going to have the same problem as we had with Iron Fist, that basically he's got a powerful punch and kick? I don't know. I don't know whether.
I'm hoping it's good, but the fact that it's got the Mandarin in it will just probably sell it straight away. Mm. I mean, even if it is just a kung fu film, but it's done by. I mean, it's the thing now that you slap Marvel's name on it, it's going to make money.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I do make me wonder whether we'll get to see a nod to the TV characters just in terms of the background now that the shows are finished. Whether the Rand Corporation name will ever pop up in a film or anything now. Or...
I mean, I hope so, but... It's going to be hard.
Yeah, especially... As we know, Foggy has no love for the TV side of things.
Mm.
He's more or less admitted that. But we'll see. As I said, I've got the feeling these things will be written off as what ifs.
Mm.
At some point down the line. Certainly I can see it with Agency Shield. with what's happened. What if Agent Coulson never died?
Mm.
It's fairly easy to write that one off. So, but we'll
the less said about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the better, in my opinion.
I'm still watching it. Got the finale to watch this week, actually.
Oh, God. Stop watching that like halfway through season 5 because it was just messing with my head.
So I've got three more questions left.
Okay.
Yep.
This one, I'm pretty sure you guys will know where you're going to go with this one, but best fight scene.
How long have we got?
Yeah, how long have we got?
I've got to go with, I think, probably just because of that Daredevil corridor scene early on.
Yeah.
Just because, whoa!
You just, one take of perfection. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
So good.
It was cinematic television, yeah. Wasn't it, basically? Yeah.
It was revolutionary because you watched that episode. And I know I'm going back to 2015 again here, but I went into school and everyone went, did you see that thing with like the big corridor fight scene? Like everyone's jaw just dropped going, oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you'd have people like on the phones, like down the side, so the teacher wouldn't see going like, yeah, yeah, here it is. Look, God, blimey, look at that.
Yeah.
So you're both going with the same one.
With the Lucozade slushy.
So I'm going different again. And not to be different, this was the one that I'd already picked. But when Frank breaks out and he just basically goes berserk and walks out covered in blood over his white sword.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just for me, just the pure violence, I can't put it any other way because it is. It's just out and out R-rated violence.
It was madness, that.
Yeah.
It was 80 certificate movie on the telly, wasn't it?
Rival the corridor scene, I'll give you that.
Yeah, definitely for me. I'm going with that. Last but one, favourite season.
Oh, that's hard.
That's going to be a toss up between two different shows, probably.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
probably the same for me. And I'm probably going to have to go with Daredevil Series 1 just because
it was
Daredevil
the
and it was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it was a toss-up between that and JJ Series 1.
Yeah, that's what Tony, why are we on the same wavelength?
That's why we're on here, I think.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have different views on things. It's not working properly, is it?
Yeah, it's not happening, Tony. This is not working. I'm ending it. We're over. I'm taking the dog and getting out of here.
Well, tell you what, do you want to go with JJ Series 1 just for balance then?
Yeah, just for balance, I will. Do you know what? My reasoning will be David Tennant. That's why. That's what my reason will be. Just because David Tennant in JJ Season 1, that's my favourite season.
And I'm going with the same one. I'm going with Jessica Jones Season 1.
Yes.
Just because I felt it was strong villain-wise, obviously. Yeah,
great show.
The supporting cast were great in that season. Less said about later seasons on some of them, the better. and Kristen was fantastic.
Yeah.
And we got the Luke Cage that I think we probably deserved in that
season.
Yeah,
Luke Cage was better in JJ than,
than
his own show. He was, yeah. Sorry.
So Punisher Season 1 probably would have been second for me.
Yep.
I just like the storyline about his wife and the fact that it was all linked to that, and then obviously the fact that it was Billy in the end, and we got the introduction of Jigsaw at the end, and that kind of leads on to the last question: best series of the five plus Defenders, obviously, but.
I'm gonna go with Daredevil just because I think it had the most amount of good seasons out of all of them. Season 1 and 3 are beautiful pieces of television.
Yeah. Yeah, Series 2 it floundered a little bit, didn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean it's like, you know, like they have this thing in the movies of like sequels are never as good as the original, but then the third one can crawl it back massively.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what Daredevil did.
Yeah.
You going with that as well, Tony?
Oh, Now I'm going to go with Mr. Bernthal's show just because the two series almost play like one big fucking 18 certificate movie. So I'm going to go just with the Punisher. Plus he kind of steals series two as well of Daredevil. So.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with Tony. I think the quality over the two seasons held.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, Punisher was steadier in quality.
Yeah. Over the 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And it never felt like it had a lull in the middle.
No.
Like some of them did. And yeah, just kept the quality and the performances were great. The refresh of the cast, I thought worked really well for season two.
Mm-hmm.
The new introductions I thought worked really well. And the fact that people were worried that they were going to miss certain characters, I don't think it did. And I just really enjoyed both seasons. I could probably quite happily sit here and watch both of them back to back and not have any issues. Whereas a couple of the others, I don't think I could sit through them all again.
No.
You'd have to drug me to make me rewatch Iron Fist. You would have to give me some seriously powerful narcotic. You would. It just bored me to death.
Now, isn't it interesting that none of us picked anything best from the Defenders?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like Defenders, but I only liked it when Jessica and Matt Murdock were in it.
Yeah. As the phrase goes, it wasn't as some of the parts, wasn't it? It
yeah.
wasn't as good as all those elements should have been, basically. Yeah.
It also made no sense that everybody had been saying, oh, the solo shows have got to be cut to less episodes for them to then cut the team up series to less.
And for it to actually suffer as a result. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was too much to fit in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas with the solo shows, you're concentrating on that one main character. You
Do
put
what I think
four together.
A brilliant move, right? Make make Defenders a two-part, a big story, but told over two seasons. And then the big cliff, like there's a big cliffhanger right in the middle, which is the end of season one.
Problem was they wanted to get more series out, didn't they? The solo ones.
Yeah, that was the thing, wasn't it?
But to be fair, I think Defenders was the final nail in the coffin.
Oh, yeah. Because if you can't get a team thing off the ground, nowadays, you're buggered.
Yeah.
I mean,
it'd be interesting to know what the viewing figures watching for it was like in the end compared to the others.
Yeah, true.
And whether it didn't have so much repeat or...
It really does show, though, that how good some of those shows were, that we've all kind of picked different things at different times. I know some of us have been similar.
Yeah.
But... We've all always had not one time of all three of us said the same thing.
Mm, true.
So that just shows you the quality that went through them for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Just done a bit of Googling and apparently Defenders was the least viewed Marvel Netflix series of all of them.
Interesting. There you go.
Yeah. Doesn't
surprise me. I think a lot of people binge watched it and told their mates, don't bother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possible, very possible.
Which I don't blame them for, to be honest. It was a slight waste of time in areas.
And because it was only 8 episodes, it was probably the easiest to binge watch as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So people got a heads up on it.
And normally those 8 episode runs work quite well, but it was just too much to fit in.
If they'd have gone for 10, 12 episodes, they probably could have fitted a lot more in and maybe got a bit of better quality.
Definitely think so. But as we said, we are sad that they've gone.
Absolutely.
And kind of trying to fill a hole now because we about this time we'd be expecting another season just to be round the corner.
Yeah.
I think last year we got one in September. Did we get Luke Cage season two in September?
I think it probably was, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
So yeah, bit strange that there isn't something just around the corner. And without any films as well at the moment, that's the other killer. We've got, as Tony said, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just finishing up its season. Both Runaways and Cloak and Dagger are off the air at the moment. So there isn't actually any Marvel stuff out there at the moment.
Yeah. Just going back to what we were saying at the top of the show, and these sort of these Marvel television shows. See, Jeff Loeb was quoted as saying that they're going to be street level heroes again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whether that's going to be reworked ones or new ones, it'd be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Here's a question off me to throw into this little Q&A for you. If you could pick any one of the shows, including Defenders, to become a proper big budget Marvel film.
Daredevil. Yeah. That was easy.
Yeah, it's fairly easy for me. It's Punisher.
See, I'd have... Tell you what, if they could remake one of the series as a film, obviously they'd have to cut a couple of things out, but if they could, say, like, remake Daredevil Season 1 as a film, Jessica Jones Season 1 as a film, Punisher as a film, what would you pick?
Punisher Season 1.
Daredevil.
See, I'd go Jessica Jones Season 1 just to see Tennant go full out. Like, because he'd get a lot more screen time.
On that note, have either of you seen Good Omens yet?
Yes.
I haven't. I watched it, so...
It's so good.
See, I wasn't convinced by it.
Well, to be fair, have you read the book?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, because I haven't, so I thought if you have, maybe that's why you might think it's not
no.
as good.
No, to be fair, it's not really my thing, but I thought, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But to me, Tennant felt like he was playing Bill Nighy. It felt like the part was written for Bill Nighy 20 years ago.
Interesting.
See, now, to me, does anyone watch Lucifer?
Yes.
I do. I'm trying to catch up with it at the minute.
Oh, right. Well, I felt like he was trying to play Lucifer. Tom Welling's Lucifer. Not Tom Welling, sorry. Tom, what's his face? The guy who plays Lucifer. Can't remember his last name.
Ellis.
That's it. Tom Ellis.
It just felt like he was kind of playing Bill Nighy from Love Actually at times. Mm. A little bit too trying to be an aging rock star.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's very similar to his part in the Fright Night remake then as well.
He played the magician.
He's
played a few characters like that. His character in Harry Potter's kind of like that as well.
Oh, yeah, Barty Crouch Jr. He's a creepin'.
Yeah. Until you realise what he is, but to start with, he feels like he's trying to be a rock star.
Mm.
Nothing against Tennant at all.
If you need any more of Mr. Amazing Mr. Tennant, I think he's got a Netflix show coming up soon as well.
Yes, I did. I saw that the other day.
Criminal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which he just looks like his character from Broadchurch.
it's supposed to be very close.
Yeah.
To Alec Hardy. But
it sounds quite interesting, so I'll probably have a look at that actually.
Yeah. Well, on a superhero note, has anyone watched The Boys?
No, that's next.
No, on my list again.
You need to watch The Boys. It's so funny.
Over the last week and a half, I watched Good Omens. I rewatched season one of New Girl. I'm just about to finish season three of Glow. And then The Boys is next.
And over the same period, I've watched about six episodes of Manifest. That's so much I struggle to catch
Manifest,
up with telly.
Wow. Well, tell you what, just to say on the part of Good Omens, Carl Urban steals every scene he's in. He is so good, and he calls everyone the C word at least three times in 10 seconds. he's just got a bag full of C words, and he just throws them out like candy.
So that kind of rounds up comic book views of the month. I really enjoyed that. Something a little bit different. Just throwing some questions out.
Putting us on the spot.
Yeah. Well, that was the idea. No planning in it. Makes you think a bit about it. So yeah, no, I enjoyed it, and it's always nice to try something different.
Yeah.
So, thank you for listening, guys. We'll be back next month. The episode will be around the same time next month because I'm away.
The time of D23, I believe, as well, isn't it?
Well, that's the end of this month.
Ah, so we, oh, there we go then. So we'll yeah. Be...
So that'll probably be what our chats will be about. It'll be about the Marvel stuff from Disney that's unveiled then.
And sure then the other bits we can think of.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some theme park news as well from it regarding the Marvel lands that they're building at the moment that we can talk about.
Cool.
As well as the film and TV. As I said, it will be out around the same time as this month because I'm away for the back end of the month. I'm in Paris first. 4 days later, I fly to Florida. So it'll have to be done before I go away. So we will be back around the same time next month. Thank you guys for joining me.
No problem.
As I said, really enjoyable. And we'll be back next month. So thank you very much, everyone.
Bye.
Adios, senor.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.